Bibles with you, or your phones, or your tablets, or whatever you use to read the Word of God, turn to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Let me read it for you today. It says this: "To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, 'Thank God I am not like other men, robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even like that tax collector. For I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance, and he would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.'" Father, for these next few moments, would you open our eyes to this amazing story? Would you speak to us and challenge us and change us? And if there's anything in us that's disturbing you this morning, would you capture it for us that we may walk out of here justified people? And we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that strikes me in this passage is that everybody likes a good story. Stories speak to our hearts and our minds. It challenges our thinking. It makes us see things differently. That's why you can go to a movie time after time again, or read a book over and over again, because God has designed us to enjoy stories. And Jesus is teaching here. He's using a parable, which really is a story that is meant to teach a lesson or confront a false way of thinking. And if you look in Luke chapter 18, verse 9, we're told that Jesus was dealing with a group of people who were confident in their own righteousness. They were literally confident in their rightness. And because of that truth, they looked down on everyone else. And to be honest with you, as I was reading that passage today, or really the last few weeks, I thought, isn't that sort of a mirror image of our nation right now? Left or right, Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter who or else. When you watch the news, everyone is right in their own eyes. Isn't that the way it is? And let's be honest, when you think you're right, it means that everyone else is wrong. And some of you are looking and thinking in your hearts right now, but they are wrong. There's no issue here. So Jesus tells a very simple story, a real easy parable, maybe. It's about two men that go up to the temple. I want you to notice a couple of things. Both of these guys were sincere and devout. I mean, both of them were actually showing up, so that tells you a little bit about who they were and how they were responding. And Jesus gives us these two men, and he says one of them is a Pharisee, which in Jesus' day, culturally, that was the most righteous reputation that you could have. If you were a Pharisee, you literally, everyone had a tendency to look up at you because you lived life well and you did it right. The other was the most sinful person Jesus could think of at the time. So you have a Pharisee on one side who kept the law really, really well. In fact, we're going to see in a few moments that was really his joy and his strength. And then you have a tax collector who lived in a profession which extortion and dishonesty were expected. So you can imagine what was going on in the crowd's ears. I'm sure everyone listening would have felt a bit of tension. I mean, listen for a few seconds. Two men go up to pray. And an amazing scene. You have a Pharisee on one side, you have a tax collector on the other side. I should probably fill in Jesus' day, when you talked about a tax collector most often was Jewish, who worked for the Roman government. And one of the amazing things that we complain about our tax collectors, they're not called that, they're called the IRS, but anyway, we complain about them. But in Jesus' day, the Romans would come to that tax collector and say, "Whatever you got, I want 5%. But you can charge as much as you want." I mean, imagine going down the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and that's fairly expensive now, but the people in the toll booth could decide how much they wanted to charge you. Wouldn't that be sort of an interesting ride? How many of you would get rid of your nice cars and get clunkers because you just assume if you rolled up into that toll booth, if they saw your car and noticed how you were dressed, things would get a little bit more expensive. So this tax collector was looked at as a traitor. And I'm sure there was some tension. And honestly, when I hear the story, I honestly want to put myself in the tax collector's camp, don't you? When you read the story and know the story, even though there's a Pharisee there who's doing all the right things, and you read through the whole story, you see this tax collector who is humble before God, and all of us, and myself included, just think, oh God, I want to be on the tax collector's side. This is a no-brainer. I'm going to stick with him because he's doing things right. But the truth is, at least for myself, I can identify with a Pharisee. I might camouflage it a little better, but every single day, when I look about, I have a tendency to thank God that I'm not like some of the people that I meet. See, I don't think we recognize or know it. Most of the times, at least if you're honest with yourselves as Christians, we have a tendency to believe the idea that we look at everyone equally, and we would never be like that Pharisee that looks down on other people. But if you're honest, couldn't you say that maybe you just camouflage it a little better? You look about and you thank God you're not like some of the people that you meet. And we make lists in our minds, at least in our heads. And let's be honest, most of us, if you're honest, at the end of the day, you do want to impress people. Or at least you want to have people look at you and think, man, they're special or unique. Or at the very least, they're followers of Christ. Isn't that sort of what we talk about? And I know we'd never think like that. But honestly, don't you sort of think that maybe, just maybe, we can sit in the Pharisee's camp for a little bit? And so the Pharisee begins to pray. Again, both of them are praying. Both of them are calling out to God. Except the Pharisee, it says, and two men went up to the temple to pray, and one was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. Isn't that an interesting way Jesus put it? God, I thank you. He started off so well in his prayer, doesn't he? He begins to pray about himself. The Pharisee highlights his obedience to the law. He trusts in his works and his efforts and his behavior. Thank God. God, I thank you that I'm not like those other men, robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even that tax collector. They must have walked in the temple gates together. And he began to talk about himself to the Lord. I fast 2 times a week. That was probably part of the ritual in honor of being a Pharisee. You did a lot of religious things. He says, and I give a tenth of all that I get. And again, when we hear that, we just assume that he's a regular person that tithes. That's not what was going on in the Pharisee's life, because if you were going to honor God to the Pharisee's way of thinking, you gave a tenth of everything. That meant if someone gave you 10 ears of corn, you would make sure that you'd take one of those ears of corn and you'd put it aside and bring it to the temple. If it was spices, if it was herbs, if it was olive oil, whatever the case may be, you made sure that you divided it out so everyone recognized and saw it. He believed that he merited God's reward and favor. I don't know about you, when I listen to the Pharisee's prayer, I also have to confess, even within my own heart, that there have been times when I've prayed like that. How about you? God, I've done everything right. Aren't you glad I'm in your camp? Isn't it an honor that you know my name? We don't say it out loud, but sometimes we run it through our hearts and minds, don't we? The other thing I want you to realize, that for many of us, when we talk about praying, we're praying in our head, aren't we? In this particular passage, one of the habits of the day was that when you came to the temple to pray, you prayed out loud. Can you imagine standing in the temple next week during our pastoral prayer? I'm going to have all of you up, and you're just going to start praying out loud. Can you imagine that scene? Oh, Father, thank God I'm not like those other people. And then he gives the list, and maybe the tax collector was, you know, sitting in the second pew. And he goes, oh, God, thank you, I'm not like that tax collector. How many of you would love to go to a temple like that? An out loud prayer condemning the people that you're worshiping with. Just realize this wasn't he wasn't praying in his head, he was saying it out loud. So you get the image of what's taking place there. Two men, two different views. And then Jesus tells us a little bit about the tax collector. The bottom of the barrel. The bottom of the barrel. See, probably that Pharisee was sitting in the very front row in the Hebrew section of the temple days. It says that the tax collector stayed at a distance. He was probably in the very last row, because he didn't want to get that close to the Holy of Holies. He didn't even figure that he should even be there, probably. It says that the tax collector stands at a distance, and he would not even look up to heaven. And literally this whole idea of coming before God, it filled him with an upsetness, because it says in the scriptures that he literally beat his chest. He was so overwhelmed with his circumstances in his own heart. And he doesn't come before God and thank God. He simply comes before God very quietly and probably under his breath, simply saying over and over again, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's an amazing contrast. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He understood where he was at. See, I think if you read into the story a little bit more, you begin to understand that the tax collector stood in awe of who God was, and the Pharisee stood in awe of who he was. The Pharisee had everything but lacked one thing. The tax collector had nothing, but he had one essential thing: his own unworthiness and the need for God's grace. See, if you look at the scripture in verse 14, it says this: I tell you the truth, that it is this man, rather than the other, who went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. You can almost imagine how quiet the crowd must have been. And the truth is that pride says that we can be sufficient. Isn't that how it works? This Pharisee was assuming, because he did all the right things and followed the law correctly and took everything to the nth degree, that that was an impressive move, and God would had to have been glorified and lifted up because of that. That he began to take pride in all that he was doing. Pride says, I'm sufficient. I'm good enough. Every time I hear the word pride, I remember, I think it was a Mickey Gilley country western song that was, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. See, that's where pride leads us. I'm sufficient in myself. Humility begins to see God's unmerited grace and burning love and endless forgiveness. And this is what overwhelms a person's heart. See, the Pharisee looked at himself and thought God should be pleased to have him in the camp. The tax collector looked at himself and recognized there was no way he could even enter the presence of God. Humility sees again God's unmerited grace. Do you recognize that there's nothing that we can do that makes God want to bring us into the kingdom of God? It is His grace. It is His mercy. It is forgiveness. It is His passion. It is His love. It's enduring pursuit that chases us day after day after day. This overwhelms us, or at least it should. The more you are amazed at God's grace, the more you are unsettled when you begin to look at yourself. It's not a negative thing or a bad thing to have a biblical view of who you are in God's eyes. The closer you come to Christ, the closer you walk with Him, the more you begin to recognize His glory and power and strength, and the more you will want to surrender your pride and self-sufficiency and your even the control that you so hold we so hold on to. The more we walk with Him, the closer we walk with Him, the more we begin to understand how glorious and good He is, our response should be the more humbler we become. That we want to surrender our pride and we want to surrender our self-sufficiency and we want to surrender our control into His hands. See, that's what Jesus, I believe, was hoping that this crowd of confident people in their own righteousness, that they would begin to see how amazing and glorious our God is. And as we begin to see how amazing and glorious our God is, we will begin to be the people that recognize the only place we need to be is on our knees before our King. Can you imagine that scene? Just imagine that crowd gathering around the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, confident in their own righteousness and rightness, and looking down at everyone else, and Jesus begins to tell this story. So can I ask you a couple of questions? Will you answer Jesus' questions? Whom are you like most? Or I should say, who are you like most? Or who are you most like? That's what I'm trying to say. Excuse me. Whom are you most like? And let's just be quiet within our own heads. You don't even have to yell out the answer or raise your hand. But out of those two people, who are you like most? If you want to get really daring, turn to the person. Oh, I won't do that now. Later, in the afternoon, maybe you ask your friends or your spouse or your kids. If you were to declare who I'm like most, who would I be here, the tax collector or the Pharisee? I think the second question, who do you want to be seen as or understood as, honestly, in the secret place of your heart? Again, can you recognize that sometimes we drift toward the Pharisee instead of the tax collector? Because we want to be seen. We want to be noticed. We want people to think, isn't that a holy person or a good person? Isn't that how it works? I think it's John Maxwell that talks about, how many of you grew up with a Lone Ranger? You know who that is? White hat, mask. John Maxwell always said he, at the end of the story, if you remember the end of the show, that he would rescue everyone and everything would be going right, and you'd hear the clop of the horse's feet as it ran up the hill, and they would look at each other and said, who is that masked man? Do you remember the old show? And John Maxwell would be the one, he'd be like, I would be the one lifting up the mask going, it's me. Isn't that honestly sometimes how we feel? It's me. Realize that you can do all of the right things and still not be godly. Or you can be broken and have a heart after God's heart. So how will you respond? Two people, two views. Sort of reminds me of that Robert Frost poem that talks about two paths diverged in the woods, and I took the one least traveled, and it made all the difference. See, I think Jesus always gave his teaching not so we could just have more information, but because he wanted us to make a choice and recognize where we're at and who we're at. And so we have two choices this morning. Choose wisely, because it will make a difference in the long run. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we've seen two men and two views. And I confess, as an American, I don't like that. I want a multitude of views, and I want a lot of choices. And you say, nope, there's only two. Would you speak to us today? Would you minister to our hearts today? Would you allow us at the end of the service, at the very least, to be so overwhelmed with your glory and your grace and your pursuit that Lord, we begin to recognize that salvation is nothing that we deserve. It is nothing that we can control. We can't merit it. And yet I know a lot of people, as I talk to them, even within the body of Christ, that have in their heads, if I just come on Sundays and if I do tithe the way I'm supposed to, and I'll even do nursery for years, hoping that that will earn a spot. And yet you say that's not going to do it. Father, for those of us who find ourselves walking a little bit closer to the Pharisee, would you speak to us today? That if we're settled in our own rightness, and we have a tendency to look down on those that we come in contact with, be it as we're walking through Walmart or driving down Main Street, would you minister to our hearts and show us your grace and your mercy? For the Word of God says the standard is perfection. Not one sin, not one off-color thought or word. That's the standard. And yet, because of the cross and because of the resurrection and because you pursued us and you made us a way, Father, that's where salvation starts. Father, would you remind us that this gift of salvation is nothing that we earned or deserved, but it's all about your grace and mercy. It's all about your unfailing love and your amazing depth of forgiveness. Would you bring those images to mind throughout this week as we sort of live with the tension of two men and two views? Father, we ask today, or at least I've been asking today, that we would be a people that get more and more comfortable by just simply crying out to you, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, a sinner. That as we walk through life and as we live in our homes and as we go to work tomorrow, instead of that thought of judgment, there would just be that heart of compassion. Have mercy on me, a sinner, O God. And your word says the one that recognized that walked away righteous. The one that walked away with that attitude was considered whole and sinless and uncorrupt. And it doesn't make any sense. But we believe your word over our own. So would you minister to us today, your people? And as we make this choice, give us your wisdom. And Lord, if there are those of us here today that are wrestling because we just say we don't deserve it, we understand we're the tax collector. Oh God, would you let them hear the end of the story? Because when the tax collector recognized his need, the kingdom of God was thrown open. Would you make us a people that recognize our need? For you are still the God that pursues us. And you are still the God that changes us. Lord, be our vision this day. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could stand.